listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you. And this is an unusual show because this is the first time I've had on my show my dear friend, and I work on her show, Dancing with Ghosts, every Wednesday, in the, across the hall in the video channel, right. And Rebecca Fearing. I want to welcome Rebecca.
Thank you.
And Rebecca, let me get everybody's level up. Get the mics up. And Rebecca was responsible for me meeting Tessie Ward, who's here, and she introduced me to Kelly Rhodes. So everybody's here. Welcome. It's great to have you guys here. And this is a little different show. And what we're going to do is we're going to focus a little bit on this. There's a concert happening over at the Whiskey, and it's called Crew Fest Hollywood. And I'm going to let Tessie explain what it's about, but it's for a good cause. And Kelly's going to be playing at it, too. So we'll get into that in a minute. But I want to welcome Tessie. It's great to have you here.
Yay. Thank you.
And Kelly.
Thank you so much.
So tell us a little bit.
Yes, well, this is the 18th Crew Fest. Yes, and Nick Pulvis is the one who really has kind of structured the show and kept it going all these years. As I always say, I just do whatever Nick wants and help him to make it happen. And the story behind it is Crew Fest is a benefit concert, and it's for pediatric cancer. All of the proceeds from Crew Fest goes to Letty's Angels. And if you check the website, www.hollywoodcrewfest.com, you'll see a link for telling you all about the history of the Crew Fest show for these past 18 years. It'll give you the lineup. It'll give you a link to purchase tickets. And, of course, if you're following that link, they'll ask you what band you're looking to see. And, of course, I encourage everybody to say you're coming to see Mr. Kelly Rhodes, as he will be featured in our highlight spot at Crew Fest on Saturday night. There's a long story behind Crew Fest in that Vince Neil lost his lovely daughter, Skylar, to cancer. So this is in tribute to her, and we remember her and her family and all who are associated with them. And for everyone else out there, although we focus on pediatric cancer, it's for anybody who suffered cancer and the effects of it. So we look forward to everyone coming. It's a great night. We have 10 bands coming from not only all over California, but as far away as Norway. We have the infamous Night Rain coming to us live from Norway. They're a great band. They have fantastic music. We have Mr. Kelly Rhodes bringing us his own unique twist on rock. And he has told me that he'll be featuring in and amongst his lineup a few Aussie songs, Is that correct, Kelly?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And some Black Sabbath tributes. And it's a great night. I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's an all-day event. And where else can you go in L.A. for $20 and have a great, fun time and be around people who love music?
Mm-hmm.
And my mantra always is music is love. So come and join the love.
Yes, absolutely. And a little footnote, my son is named after Vince Neil. His father is a big Motley Crue fan.
Oh,
and he said,
wow.
Can we name Vincent after Vince Neil? And I said, you know what? You can name him Vincent because, or Vince, because that is a family name. And I let him do it. So, and my son ended up being a musician that played at the Whiskey before.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
so...
Right.
So anyway, thank you for letting me share that because I was
I appreciate that. That's a wonderful story because I knew about your son, but I didn't know that backstory. That's fascinating,
and
Rebecca.
My boyfriend Sherman, as you know.
Yes.
Oh, my God. He's the biggest Ozzy Osbourne fan. Mm-hmm. I met Ozzy before.
Oh, wow.
And he pushed Sherman out of the way and came up to me and goes, hello, baby. And I'm like, maybe I like him now, okay? So,
yes.
That's my connection to you guys.
I love it. I love it.
You'd be surprised who she meets.
Yes.
She meets all sorts of people. So it always amazes me. But here's the list. I have the list. I posted it up on the today's posting with the promo page that I set up for the show. Susie, JJ Savage, The Erotics, Night Rain that you mentioned.
Yes.
Stonebreed, Kelly Rhodes, Stepchild, Love and Revenge. Lewd and Crude, Picture
Just
Eyes,
a little.
And it's hosted by Eric Hatchett of L.A. Story.
Yeah, who's a great guy. An amazing guitarist, composer, vocalist, a very dear friend, and quite the entertainer. Quite the entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
Come for his stand-up comedy routine. Just that and the music alone is well worth it.
Well, I'll be there.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be there.
I was there. I attended one of your crew fest, and it was amazing. I think I live streamed it. I had so many people jealous they wanted to be there. So, yeah, you guys come out. I'll be there. Jeff will be there a little later. And, of course, these amazing people will be there. And I'm so excited to watch you perform, Kelly. And, it's going to be, I think it'll be fun.
And this is kind of a...
I know it'll be fun.
This is going to be kind of a part one. Kelly and Tessie are going to be joining us over at on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. over at across the hall with Dancing with Ghosts. So they're going to be on again, and we'll be talking more of that.
It's going to be about music because I'm getting a lot of people talking to me because you know I'm a medium and your mother. Okay, Tessie.
I told you.
Can't even remember your name. Okay. Yeah, Tessie's mom is starting up a storm. But I want to do music because music transcends all dimensions. And as you said, it's full of love.
Yes.
And I thought it would be really fun to have you and Kelly on. And this is your world more than my world.
Thank you.
And I think it'll be a really amazing show and you'll be amazing guests. And I'm so honored for you guys to be even excited to be on Dancing with Ghosts.
Oh, no, we're honored. We thank you so much, Rebecca. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so excited, you guys. Really, I'm so excited. So.
Kelly has a lot of new music coming down the pipes, and
we're super
excited for everybody to hear it and take it in and have it become a part of them.
So, we're going to feature your music, and we'll have it all up and ready to go. And, yes, it's going to be a very interesting show, to say the least.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, do you need to say anything? Does you need to tell her what her mom's telling her before I start interviewing them? They have to understand. When we do Dancing with Ghosts, this happens all the time. People come in on the other side and are like, you got to say this. You got to say this. So,
well, if Tessie's open, I'm not going to share what I just told her. But your mother was pretty accurate. Is that correct? And your lovely husband. You have a husband on the other side. And they're very talkative to me. So so I was already able to give her some messages from her mother.
Yes, and I thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm sure that I feel Kelly's family is trying to come in, too. And so you never know. I don't know.
I doubt it.
Oh, you'd be surprised who comes in. And if not, that's fine, too. I only have talked to Tessie. I wasn't even sure if I should say anything now on this show, but before the show, because her mother and her husband they're like going at it like crazy. So, you know, I'm glad I told your mom. I told her, look, she'll be on my show in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. So we'll have plenty of time to talk.
Yes. Well, mm-hmm. you know, music is part of both sides of my family. It's my legacy. And, you know, it's very, very near and dear to my heart. And while I've done other things with my life, music has always been there and it's always been the core of things.
Well, that just sets it right up to talk about. Let's talk a little bit about you. I want to get a little bit of background on both of you guys.
Yeah, really.
Let's start with you since your mom brought it up. No,
well, thank you. Well, my stock in trade is I'm a singer. And I'm a songwriter. I'm particularly strong with lyrics. So that has been the majority of my life. I love the guitar as well. And I would like to be more proficient in it. That's an ongoing project. Right. And as far as... my throat is so dry. I just flew in from New York, so forgive me.
She literally got off the plane and came here.
Mm-hmm. And her hair is so beautiful. I wondered how she did that. I asked her what her secrets were.
I'll share. I'll do yours for Wednesday if you like.
Thank you. Yes.
It's something that I do for my artists because, you know, I still perform, I still sing, I do a lot of writing, particularly ghost writing for up-and-coming artists, for artists that are out there, if they're looking to switch their direction, I like to sit with them and, you know, kind of work things out and see what we can come up with that enhances their image, and, you know, if they want to, if they're stuck in a genre and they want to kind of expand a little bit, I like to do work like that. And unfortunately, you know, just... my opinion, I feel artists are very much overlooked and are not compensated properly, and they've been the victims of very bad deals, both from the record companies and from the venues, and I like to think of myself as a bit of a standard bearer, and despite the fact that I'm kind of, you know, very shy and retiring, when it comes to music, you know, I can become quite fierce.
Yeah.
And I have taken into developing and managing talent, sharing my lifetime of experience in music, and also looking to push music forward and have it play a better part in our society today, and to have our artists treated fairly, because you know, it's a shame that musicians make music and they're not getting compensated for it.
Yeah, haven't we heard the stories about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it's rampant, and it's rampant.
Yes.
You know, and while I think every musician at one time or another has a quote-unquote day job, you know, that shouldn't be the case, that when they are making music and going out and performing live for us and entertaining us and feeding our souls, that they should be compensated for that. And that's, you know, kind of a life journey for me. And I do whatever I can to share my experiences and help them, quote-unquote, figure it out and, you know, kind of be a defender for them.
Well, artist development used to be a big thing. It was a whole department, A&R, yes. Artists and Repertoire. Yes. But now there's nothing anymore. And in working with musicians like that, what's out there today? I understand this is a pretty broad field, but things have changed. And with the changes that happened with the decline of the record company, the independent, what are the avenues for artists? Because all the people listening, the guitarists, they're trying to get their stuff out. They're trying to get get compensated. What do you see? I mean, give it like an overall opinion of it.
Well, I would say, Jeff, just again, this is my personal opinion. This is what I have seen in my own life in music and, you know, in watching others. Of course, whatever the instrument is, be it a guitar, a piano, strictly your voice, you know, whatever the instrument is, work, work, work. Always elevate your craft. It's a continual thing. You know, you could be the highest guitarist in the world, and those that are still taking lessons, and they're still honing their skills. Mm-hmm. I feel that's very, very important. Never sit on your laurels. Always try to make yourself a little bit better. And I feel that it's best to be in competition with oneself. Not necessarily the artist to the left or the right of you. You know, work on yourself. Work on yourself. Hone your craft. Today, in particular, with us being such a visual society, I feel it's very important that an artist have a look which is reflective of their music, their personality, their message for their music. So, you know, not everybody has to be blinged out in, you know, couturier clothes. However, a look that expresses, it's another avenue of expression, and it's another tool in your toolkit. I feel that's very, very important. That's why I said, you know, hit someone else to come in when they're getting started or, you know, restarting into a different genre.
Right. And you know what? I've told so many young artists that, you know, you've got to be camera ready. You know, it
Absolutely.
Is important, even for Dancing with Ghosts. I didn't do it tonight, but I have a makeup artist and,
yes.
you know, and so I'm excited to get tips on hair. And it is something I talk about often. I said, you might not want to think that's the case, but it is. Some are resistant.
Totally. Yeah.
They had the voice, but they want the performer, right?
Correct.
The performing is the whole package. That's what I feel.
Yes.
Dealing with so many celebrities and very popular ones. I've even predicted some that, like I had one guy go, you're going to get an Oscar. But I said to her, you have to get your dress now because you're going to
yes.
win. And she was about my size. So I said, you can't get off the rack. You've really got to make that effort. And she did, and she won. And she looked great. They mentioned how good she looked.
It's you know? It's very, very mm-hmm. important, Rebecca,
yeah.
you know,
mm-hmm.
because
yeah.
you all the senses are involved in music. It's not just listening.
No.
You know, it's you know, you're looking, you're watching. And I feel as a performer, we're there
right.
to give a full-on performance.
Yeah,
well, it's no longer a matter of being a musician. A friend of mine that was a producer years ago told me, he said, you got to look at yourself no longer as a guitarist or a writer. You have to look at yourself as a media artist.
Correct.
And that encompasses all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to use all those tools. Now, let me ask you, though, because you've come from a traditional business, you know, music business with the record labels and stuff. As a new artist coming up, is it worth it to pursue record labels, or is it better? Is the indie thing more... does it work? Or, I mean, just your opinion.
Well, my own opinion, no. I don't think so, because, you know, the record labels, those that are still left, the big labels, if you get the right deal, I never say no. I'll always look at paperwork if it's sent for an artist. Never say no, but take a look at it. But it just seems that the trend is, you know, if a record label is going to pick you up, a lot of artists don't realize that, oh, I'm getting this great advance and everything else. Yes, but that advance has to pay for the writing, the production, the mixing, the mastering, and the distribution of your album.
And you owe it.
And you owe it back. Yeah.
Right.
There's this little thing called a 360 clause as well, which, you know, any merchandise that's going out, the artist is getting a very small percentage. If you can develop your brand, which is your look, your music, and the methodology by which you're spreading your music around. If you can develop that yourself, we have so many options nowadays that I think the independent route is a great way to go. And look, I would never say no to a record deal for an artist with, you know, a major label, but it has to work. It has to work for the label, and it has to work for the artist.
Right.
Simultaneously.
Well, do you think it's true that I've heard this said that for you, you can make more money selling 100,000 copies independently as opposed to get that kind of money back from the label. You have to sell over 1 million because
yeah.
of all the overhead and
yes.
all that stuff.
Yes.
And then also, too, now, like Warner Brothers, you can hire them to distribute your record. It's no longer a matter of trying to get a record deal. You can just pay them flat out, and they'll distribute it through Europe or the world.
Correct.
Through their system. So, mm-hmm. you know, do you feel that that's, you know, the independent route? Does it give you that flexibility and to do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because once you hone your craft, once you have how you want to deliver your music together, you have your look together, you have your marketing together, then it's a question of, well, how do I get my music out there? And,
right.
you know,
right.
social media is one thing, and that's very popular nowadays, but it has to go beyond that, because from a marketing and a business standpoint, here's the thing. You can have 3 million followers on Instagram, but if something happens to that platform, or it's no longer the favored platform, or if you do something to offend Instagram and their rules, they can shut you down.
They shut you down.
And here's the thing. Those 3 million followers are gone. because you don't have those names. That's why all my artists, first thing we do is we develop a website for them. Doesn't have to be anything super fantastic. It can be very simple. I'm a big fan of a one page, a landing page, just that there's a place that you can come and see what your artists look like, what they're doing, where they're appearing, and have an opt-in box where you collect information on those that want to follow you.
Right.
Obviously, you know, a name could be first and last, could just be first. You definitely need an email address. It depends, because, you know, the more information you ask for, they're kind of like, oh, that's it. I don't want to fill anything else out. So you have to, you know, each artist is a little different. So you have to come up with a good mix. I'm a big fan of collecting zip codes. That way, if I'm coming into a town, I can, you know, hyper target that zip code area around there. But that list, that's yours. That's your real estate. You know, it's worth its weight in gold.
Mm-hmm.
No. Very, very important.
And yeah. I wanted to ask this question because Vincent was in music. So he started his band when he was 12. And oh, wow. So I learned a little bit about the music company. He did have a deal with Warner Brothers. It's mm-hmm. funny you mentioned that. I don't know if Jeff knows that. But where I learned about is when you have a merch deal and it's your merch deal. But it's very hard sometimes if you're signed for the company to let you have that money. So, you know, I think, I don't know if that's true, but I felt there was, you know, a lot of weight in owning your own merch deal. What do you think about that?
There is, but unfortunately, most mm-hmm. of the contracts now, there's boilerplate language in them from the major labels that it's a very heavy split, and the artist is not in the favoring end.
Yeah, that's what I found out. So I was just wondering if that was correct from what I found in helping Vincent.
Right.
And Vincent, he did get signed and he did tour the United States. He writes his own music and sings, but he didn't quit because he wasn't becoming successful. He quit because we had a great tragedy in our life, and it happened that he was too sad, I think, to carry on.
Yeah.
But now, as he's 27, he's thinking about getting his people together again. And
he should.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's still young. You're only 27 years old.
Yeah. Though.
But since he started when he was 12, I think that he thinks he's too old.
Mm-hmm.
He's not.
Not at all. No. Not at all.
So
not
thank you all. With your take on that, because you're the expert.
No, definitely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it used to be you would always hear, you know, the term the dirty 30. Once you turn 30, your life is over in music.
Right.
I don't think that's the case at all.
No, most guitarists that are working and they're viable, they're anywhere from like 30 on to 70,
mm-hmm. Look at,
and they're doing well.
Paul McCartney, I just saw him.
Yeah.
Like, how old is he? 77?
78.
Oh, come on. No, age. See, we look, I mean, I'm sorry, Paul, but we look young compared to that. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So.
He looks pretty good. Yeah. He doesn't look good.
He looks great. He put on a great show, too. But my thing is, look, we're ageless and timeless.
Absolutely.
It's your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
You put your mindset where it goes, and you love it, and you do it. Because you love it and hone your craft. I always tell people, you should still take a singing lesson. You
Absolutely.
Should still take a music lesson. Because I know all the great artists I know do that.
Absolutely.
So it's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you need
mm-hmm.
that you need that feedback
yeah.
also,
mm-hmm.
you know, from a respected source.
Yes, you do.
Know? I even said to Kelly, because Kelly is a mm-hmm. phenomenal vocalist, and mm-hmm. he also does vocal coaching, and I said to him, I shared a couple of little things that I've been dealing with lately, and even, you can tell my voice is even giving out now, you know, just from flying out here.
Right.
So, I mean, I respect this man's body of work, and, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to go to him
it
and ask
could be
him.
The smog. You got to get used to LA smog.
I know. But
a little swig of olive oil.
Okay. I
swig.
Could go for that.
Mm-hmm.
She knows the old-fashioned remedies.
There you go. They're the best.
Now,
they're the best.
I want to talk a little bit with Kelly. Kelly comes from a very musical family. His brother was Randy Rhoads, and his mom, Dolores, was an accomplished musician. Let's talk about really first. Let's talk about your musical background, because you play more than one instrument, and also too your musical influences. I want to talk about that first, and then I'll go from there.
I'm principally a composer of classical music, and the biggest body of it is music for the pianoforte, the style and the era that inspires me the most is piano music from the 1840s through the 1860s.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So I'm definitely a romantic-based composer.
Wow.
Now, I've also come from a family, as you know, that has, shall we say, dabbled in rock. And I started out as a rock musician. I actually was a drummer. And the problem with that is rock music sends kind of a message that wears thin after a short period of time. There are some exceptions, but generally rock music is a little bit geared towards the moment. Classical music endures. People still listen to Mozart. They still listen to Beethoven. They still listen to music that was written a long, long time ago, before there was any internet, which I don't understand at all. There was no record players, no television, no media, none of that kind of thing. And yet it has endured. People still want to listen to music that was composed hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Why? Because of the craft. It was so good.
Yeah.
And people could relate to it on an emotional level.
But you have to admit that rock is still pretty infant. It's not, it's only been around.
No, I don't agree at all. I think that everything that's been done in rock has pretty much been done, and it's all being recycled now.
Oh, okay, yeah. But I mean, in terms of, we have to wait 200 years to see what survive, what actually stays. You know
well,
what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, 200 years from now, we'll see what people like. I hope it's not rap. And, I think that there are some artists. I'm sure that in 200 years, people will still know who Jimi Hendrix is. Hopefully, my brother too, and probably the Beatles.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, these were. Huge breakthroughs, in music. And I would kind of think that, people would probably know about them then.
So as a pianist, give a little bit of the composers that you were and performers that you were influenced by.
I would have to say that I'm very heavily influenced by Liszt, Franz Liszt.
Mm-hmm.
Also Chopin.
Oh, I was going to say that just now.
Chopin.
Oh my God, I swear.
And Robert Schumann. If you go a little bit later in the century, I'm talking about, of course, the 19th century. Claude Debussy.
Mm-hmm.
Erik Satie. And Rachmaninoff, for good measure.
Yeah, he was a prodigy.
Mm-hmm. And he also had an incredible span. He had huge hands, so he could do like tenths.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
No, when I was in school, my teacher, Duke Miller, who taught Lee Ritenour, they had done a study on Rachmaninoff. And what they had discovered was that the earlier you learn to learn, like him, he started as a child prodigy.
Mm-hmm.
He retained that ability. So even in his 80s, he could learn a new piece and actually perform it. That's very rare. And he, so that was a key thing. And with my friends that are having kids and stuff, that's the first thing I do is get them to play or listen to music. Because the earlier, and we'll talk a minute about your school.
Well, in our school, I was going to say we don't take them under 6 years of age.
Okay.
Yeah. It rarely ever works out. They're not ready yet. Over age 6, they might be. We'll give it a shot, but we won't take somebody who's 4 years old.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the school.
Okay.
The Musonia
School
of Music. So tell us a little bit about it.
The school was established in 1948 by my mother, the matriarch of the Rhodes family. And we've had 71 years of continual operation.
Incredible.
At one time, we taught all the string instruments, the whole brass choir, everything. You could just about take anything except accordion, and we even offered that for a while, but it didn't really catch on at that time. Now we offer piano classes, guitar, bass guitar, voice, and drums.
And where is this located?
It's located on a street called Tiara, and it runs parallel to Oxnard.
Oh.
So essentially, it's like Oxnard and Laurel Canyon.
Oh, it's here in the valley.
It's here in the valley.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it's very interesting how many people have come through there.
Yeah.
A lot of people got their musical foundation at that school.
Now, when Randy was teaching,
mm-hmm.
was he teaching there?
He was.
Because, like, one of my guests on the show, Janet Robin, used to take mm-hmm. lessons from him.
Oh, she sure did. Her brother took lessons there. And
oh, you know her?
Yeah. I know her. I perform with her.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because she's coming back in September with her group, The String Revolution, four guitarists.
Mm-hmm.
She's an amazing guitar player.
She is. She was a 9-year-old little girl when she showed up, and my brother taught her and got her in the Starwood to go see him perform.
Oh, my God, the Starwood.
Right.
The Starwood.
Yeah. So she's just one of the many students that went through that school.
Oh, how exciting.
Yeah, no, there's a couple other people
Well, you're a guitar guy, so you'll appreciate this. When Randy left to go work with Ozzy, George Lynch took over.
Yeah.
He took over Randy's students. Greg Leon taught for a short while, and Rudy Sarzo taught bass there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had quite an illustrious group of people that studied there and also that taught there.
Yeah, no, that's...
And I can remember being a tiny, tiny child, and you would have like a piano teacher that was just amazing, outstanding. At that time, my mom was one of two trumpet teachers. And
oh, wow.
And we had probably maybe 250 students enrolled in that school.
Wow.
9 teachers.
And do you do all instruments still?
No.
Uh-huh.
We do guitar, bass guitar,
mm-hmm.
piano, drums, and voice.
Oh, you do voice?
That's the main
yes.
ones, yeah.
And now what's
yeah.
the age group? Do you have to be...
They have to be older than 6,
uh-huh.
and they have to still be breathing.
And how about, do you do adults there, or do you do...
Yeah, and they have to still be breathing. Yeah.
I'm still breathing, and I want to go there for voice lessons.
Okay. We have a few people that started, like, in their 70s.
Oh, wow.
And actually, they do pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to do that. I have a problem with stage fright.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a pretty decent voice, but I'm trying to overcome the stage fright of
mm-hmm.
it. So I would love to be able to do that. And I've been looking for a voice coach.
Now you found him.
Yeah, I was really thinking. I asked God, get me a good voice coach, but here you are.
There you go.
Yeah, that'll be fun to go.
There are no coincidences.
And it's very close Absolutely. To where I live.
I think so, too. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. Stuff happens for a reason.
That's right. Even this gathering.
Yeah.
Happens
for a reason, even if that isn't evident immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes the consequences play out over time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Now let me ask you this. You were the oldest, right?
I'm the eldest child.
You're the eldest child.
Right.
So what was you had to have an influence on Randy. Did you show him a lot of the classical stuff, or did you?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't that into the classical stuff at that time. I should explain something. I was always in rock bands. Always.
Okay.
I have been for about the last 45 years. And one day I had an epiphany. I woke up and I went, "Been doing it all wrong. Right highway, but the wrong exit. I don't want to do this anymore. I want to write classical music." For the pianoforte.
Wow.
Now, I always like to listen to it, but it just dawned on me one day. I got off the freeway on the wrong off-ramp. I should have pursued a classical type of repertoire. You know how old I was? 49.
Oh, I was going to say 50, right?
Yep, yeah. 49, 50, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and before that, it was just all... rock, because that's, you know, kind of like what I thought I should do.
Mm-hmm.
And it also offers immediate gratification.
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm. So.
How about jazz? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I love jazz. I can play a little bit of it,
mm-hmm.
but just by ear. I really never properly studied jazz.
Mm. Well, I think I see it in your future a little bit, just maybe for the fun of it.
That's really interesting because I have a niece, and she has some type of a thing on the internet, and it has to do with fashion, and she needs a theme for herself. And I showed her a couple of things, and one was jazz-oriented, and she liked it.
Yeah, see? Yeah, you have a... You have a hidden talent because you haven't tapped into it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you didn't start the other classical till you were almost 50 or 50.
Right.
And then, so now I see, and I, every time I've been looking at it the whole time, I'm like, you know what? There's something with jazz around him. So maybe that's another twist and turn, right?
I've always mm-hmm. liked it. A couple of my modern favorite pianists,
mm-hmm.
Tatum. His name was Tatum. I forgot the first name. And
Art Tatum?
Yeah, Art Tatum. He was a jazz guy.
Wow.
Art Tatum. So I do appreciate it, and I love it. I love to listen to it.
Right.
I've dabbled in it a little bit, but I haven't got real, real into that because it's kind of a different discipline than classical.
Oh, totally different.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of a different discipline.
Mm-hmm. I play the flute. I started when I was
My mom
seven.
Did, too.
Is that funny? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And my teacher would not, in North Hollywood, he wouldn't take me at first. I wanted to play the violin.
Okay.
And he said, no, but I'll teach you something just as hard. I'll teach you the flute, but you have to be seven. So I learned when I was seven, and I recently, somebody stole my flute, but I just told my mom too, I want to get a flute and practice the flute, but what you have to do is you have to practice. Mm-hmm. I played it for a while. So yeah, your mom played the flute.
I can help you out. Uh-huh. First of all, we have a lot of flutes.
Oh.
And I'll let one go real cheap.
Okay, good.
So that might be might be something that you
yeah.
want to look into.
We'll have to ask your mom to give me some tips along with that too.
Well, I did ask my mother one time, what are the two hardest instruments to play? Mm-hmm. And this is what she told me.
Mm-hmm.
She said violin and French horn.
Oh.
Oh yeah, French horn.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to keep the pitch right.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to play this. I want to learn how to do the saxophone because the fingering's a little the same as a flute.
Well, the good thing about a saxophone is whether it's soprano, tenor, baritone, the fingering's all the same.
Yeah, the fingering's the
and,
same.
Yeah. And it's the same for a clarinet, so you can do all of them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of saxophone players double on clarinet.
So look at I'm not a spring chicken, but I'm willing to learn and perform and have some fun with it. But
absolutely.
Not to be famous, just to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I love music. And, yeah, I'm excited. Can't wait to work with you.
Isn't this wonderful?
Yes.
I love it.
Yes. It's going to be really exciting. So.
Now, what was your mom's primary instrument?
She was primarily a trumpet player, and she played clarinet, flugelhorn.
Did she play in
an
orchestra?
Actually, that's what she did when she was younger. She was a soloist. With different orchestras.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't belong to
But she played classical, not jazz.
Oh, yeah. Classical.
Did she play like big band?
You know, when she was in college, that was like real popular. And I'm pretty sure that I'm right in saying that she did not play in big bands.
Okay.
At that time, you know, a woman shows up for a big band rehearsal and all the guys are like, you know.
Glenn
like,
Miller.
Yeah, like, Glenn Miller. It just wasn't something. You had female singers that sang in front of big bands. But for one of the musicians to actually be a woman.
And a trumpet player.
It
would have been a little bit rare. But she was a pioneer, and she did something really cool. When she was in UCLA, she, you know, they had two different marching bands, one for men, one for women. And the one
really?
For, yeah, and the one for women, did you ever see the movie A League of Their Own?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the one for women was like, kind of like tolerated. Like, okay, so they can play. So let's let them do their thing. And, you know, maybe they can be at the end of the parade or whatever. And my mom went to the, you know, the marching band director and said, I want to challenge your first chair, your first trumpet player. And she goes, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. If he wins, I won't bug you anymore. If I win, you have to let women into the men's marching band. You have to integrate. Well, guess what? She kicked his ass. She mopped the floor with him. So, because of, at that time it was Dolores Kell, because of her, the marching band was integrated.
Oh,
amazing.
Wow. Yeah.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
True story.
Yeah.
True story. And she had... an amazing array of teachers. Her cornet teacher was Herbert Lincoln Clark, who was John Philip Sousa's first cornetist.
Whoa.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if your audience knows who John Philip Sousa is, but he composed a lot of patriotic and marching songs, which were really, really, really big at that time. Stars and Stripes Forever, Washington Post March, Anchors Away, that type of thing.
Yeah. What was his name again?
Herbert Lincoln Clark.
Oh, wow.
Herbert Lincoln Clark. Then when she was in UCLA, one of her professors was Arnold Schoenberg.
Schoenberg?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Schoenberg. So she was blessed and in the presence of some truly phenomenal, outstanding, great musicians.
I think you should make a movie about your mom and you.
Now,
and
that's
your life.
Interesting. I think that they're right about what they say about you.
Yeah.
Because we just went through that. We had a meeting, and my sister kind of pulled the plug. We had a real bad experience. We're trying to make a documentary about my brother, and it was horrible.
Yeah. No, it's a full-on movie, I see. And
but this situation, we were pitched by a consortium of people.
Uh-huh.
And I went along with it. But my sister was kind of like, oh, you know, once bitten, twice shy. I don't want to have this happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, I think it would be really, really, really good for young girls and women to see my mom's example.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, right now, the studios are looking for strong women roles.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's what they're hunting for in scripts. And friends of mine that are script writers, that's what they're seeing.
Right. And then you have to put, you know, it's all about the contract.
Yep.
And then put in there that you have power. You can't do something without having a say in it, that you want it as authentic as possible, and that you have, you know, producer.
Creative control.
Yeah.
Creative control.
It needs to be told. Yeah. It really does, because that's an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is really an amazing story, and it's also amazing the time period that it took place.
Yes. I mean,
when my mom was born, women couldn't vote in this country.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So that changed before she was 1 year old, but it was a time of great, great change and great, great musical change. When she was a little tiny girl, Satie was still alive.
Wow.
And Eric Satie.
Eric Satie.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. And
what year was she at UCLA?
She was there from 1941 to 1944.
War years.
Wow. Yeah. Just before the war.
Right. Just before the war. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm feeling a movie, and I'm feeling that you'll love the way that you have control, you and your sister, and that just even the photos and the actors, like, it will give you the chills how good the actors and actresses are, but so true to life. Mm-hmm. And I want to stick with that because your mother is very much in favor of that. So hopefully your sister and you can find the right people with the right...
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be really good.
Because people don't realize that what she did indirectly probably influenced women in music today. Even though there's a lot... I'm talking a lot of people I see on my show. I have a lot of women that are great guitarists, great... Almost all of my guitar techs I know are women now.
Mm-hmm.
And that built my pedal board. Wow. I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the thing is, even what happened with pioneers in terms of songwriting, like Laura Nyro, Joni Mitchell, even before them, that's a critical thing, you know, because there's a lot of women in orchestras, very much so. I mean, most people think like harp and violin, but yes, I've seen a lot of horns. Yeah.
All through the orchestra now. But when my mom was coming up, it wasn't quite so prevalent.
Yeah.
And can I ask you a question? Because I feel your mom is like present and really wants to support you. What's the story about her own father?
Her own father was a doctor. Uh-huh. And the tie-in is this. When Randy was a tiny, tiny little boy, he was rooting around in her closet.
Mm-hmm.
And he came across my grandfather's guitar, and it actually, he dislodged it, and it fell on him.
Oh.
And for the rest of his short life, the only thing that he ever did was play guitar. That's all he ever had to do. He never had a paper out, never put the Christmas ornaments back in, never did anything like that.
Wow, and it was almost like a sign that your grandfather just knocked him on the head, and this is what you're going to do, kid. Yeah, your mother was very much wanting to tell that story, I believe, and give her father some honor because he was a medical professional.
Mm-hmm. He was a medical professional like her dad.
Yes. Oh, your dad,
right.
too?
So her dad is a musician and also
was his day job.
Yeah.
Oh, medical profession.
Yes.
Wow. And we're, a doctor. What were they? I think both your grandfathers were very good physicians also. Yours was very personable and had a good bedside. Not that yours didn't, I'm not sure, but your dad was very good at the bedside.
Yes, well, he was known for that.
What instrument did he play?
He played several, but his two favorites were the guitar and the piano.
Oh, wow. And how about your grandfather? What was his forte in medicine?
My grandfather, you know, was a real doctor of the Depression times. And, you know, he would go and...
Make house calls.
House calls, the whole thing. And my mom started studying music. She started playing piano. And he went to a house call and they couldn't... As this is common back in those days, they didn't have enough money to pay him. So they gave him a trumpet, and he brought it home and gave it to my mom, and that started a whole literal dynasty.
See, this is what movies are made of.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and I could feel like it would be, you know, just based on your family. Like, I know Joe Cortese, he was the actor in Green Book. I've met the creator of Green Book. I told them both this is going to be a smash hit. It was. But that's a true life story. And you have a story, not necessarily like Green Book, but it does involve music, right? Mm-hmm. But just the real life story of the amazing family that you come from. It's not, you know, this is something that should not go unpublished or unknown. I feel it in a movie in the making.
Well, you know, it goes really deep. Even deeper than my mom. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, Randy and I are like the leaves on the tree. My mom had a great-great-grandfather that played horn in a band. And my grandma's sister, my Auntie Helena, she played piano.
Oh, see, so it's genetic coding even, right?
Right.
Well, I'm going to say, look, and I'm going to put it out to the universe to get you that movie. Write those tidbits like you're telling us those stories. They need to be in the movie. Well, those are what people love.
Yes.
Those, unlike Randy in the closet with bing, you know, I mean, you know, it's like literally hitting the head with this is what you're going to do, kid. Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, I don't you agree? That's just,
I do.
Don't you,
I
Jeff?
Do.
And I'm sure our audience agrees that this needs to be made.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, we all know the legacy of Randy. Mm-hmm. But your mom,
your family,
even more significant because of what she did.
Exactly. There wouldn't be a Randy if it wasn't for my mom.
There you go.
Yeah.
And also just something that I always very near and dear in my heart regarding Dolores Rhodes is not only was she a supreme musician, but she was quite the entrepreneur when women were not even in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to develop the whole concept of the music school and to keep it going and flourishing
71 years in continual operation.
Absolutely.
And still operating to this day.
And I'm going to get to attend that school.
Yes.
So I'm
Rebecca's going back to school.
You're going to be a Rhodes Scholar of another sort.
That's
yes.
Funny.
And then you and I will perform on stage together.
I love it. I love it.
Camera ready.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I'm so honored. Okay, great.
Yep. Don't lose your headphones there. We're almost out of time. I'm just going to play a little bit of, well, I'm going to take us out. Which clip should I play? Should I play the Eyes of Fire?
No, that's rock. Don't waste your time with that. Play the other. You're
going to be singing rock on Saturday.
Yes, and they have to come and see him.
But somebody that's listening right now is only going to hear it at this moment.
Right.
So I'd rather them hear the other thing.
Okay, I'll play the classical piece. I'll play about a minute of it, and then I'll have to fade it out at the end of the show.
That's too bad, because that's going to the library, and instead of checking out a book, that's ripping out three pages and taking it home. Too bad you don't have...
How long is the piece?
It's about 7 minutes and 40 seconds.
Yeah, no, we don't have enough time. We'll be out. I have like...
We're going to have enough time for you?
Absolutely.
Well,
the
we'll
whole
play more.
Thing.
I'll get more
Wednesday.
Clips from you.
The whole thing. The whole
part
thing.
Two, we'll listen to the whole thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay, but listen, let me go back real quick and mention, give all the information for Crewfest, how to get tickets.
Yes, it's www.hollywoodcrewfest.com. And on the landing page, you'll see on the upper right corner, it'll ask you how many tickets and what band are you coming to see? And the answer to that question is this man right here, Mr. Kelly Rhodes.
Yay!
Yes, and please come join us if you're out of town listening to the show, if you're international listening to the show. If you go across the top bar of the website, you'll see a button to donate, and know that 100% of your donation, which is tax deductible, and you will receive a receipt for your records for it, will go directly to Letty's Angels, and you can donate as well.
Okay. All right, let me go ahead and play this piece. What's the name of this?
This piece is called Architects of Destruction.
Oh, that's an interesting classical
Architects of Destruction.
So cool.
All right, I'm going to write that
down. I want to hear the story about that, but we'll say it on my show tomorrow. Why don't we leave that on Wednesday night? I mean,
it's a cliffhanger here.
Trust me, you want to hear it.
Yes, I do.
You do want to hear this.
Okay, so I'm just going to give you a little taste of this. We will hear the whole thing on her show. If you want to listen, Dancing with Ghosts will be on Wednesday. We start about 7:15, and it's 2 hours, and we're all there. The gang will be there, and so everybody here will be there. So join us for part two of this, and hopefully we'll, if you guys do go to the Whiskey, say hi. We'll be over there.
Yep, we'll be there.
You can see Rebecca.
We'll be there
and
to
see
welcome
me.
You.
Yes, we'll sit down and chat with you. Okay, so here's Architects of Destruction. I'm going to play this. About a minute and a half of it, and then we'll close. But everybody, otherwise, have a great week. I'll see you next week. And thank you, Tessie. Thank you, Kelly. And Rebecca finally got you on the show.
Thank you.
It's been how many years? Mm-hmm. 2.5 years that I've done this show, and I finally got her on. I had to figure out a way to get her on. So
yeah, and join us for a musical experience.
Absolutely.
On Wednesday, Dancing with Ghosts. Jeff will be there. Tessie will be there. Kelly will be there. And you never know who comes and pops in from the other side.
Absolutely.
Yes, we'll probably hear more from the people on the other side on that show. So here we go. This is Architects of Destruction. Everybody, thank you. We'll see you next week.